Senior Focus. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Anne-Marie Khoury. I'm your presenter for this edition of Senior Focus. And today, our guest is Robin Treadwell, Dr. Robin Treadwell, who is a keen environmentalist. She's a former GP and women's health specialist in the health sector and has an extraordinary deep interest in gardening and tree planting and is a sailor. So welcome, Robin.
Thank you.
And as a keen environmentalist, it no doubt has been frustrating to watch and see how New Zealand is not punching above its weight in terms of coping with emissions and preparing for climate change.
Indeed. The government's not supporting our commitment to the Paris Agreement, and if we don't honour that, we both lose the right to hold big emitters to account, and we will also be jeopardising our exports in terms of treaties and our standing internationally.
Yeah, that's it's a very serious business if we don't stick by our word and stick to what we signed up to. And I think in the current international environment where the rule of law globally is very shaky. Many agreements and treaties have been set aside in the last couple of years, namely the one for nuclear disarmament between Russia and the US. It's past its use-by date, but it wasn't re-signed. And that's just a number of issues that are off the table when they should be on the table, and we have got this diminishing sense of responsibility collectively across the planet, and it's in that environment that our own government is reneging on this commitment to the Paris Agreement. I think is a good way of sort of introducing where we're at. And why I'm really interviewing you today is because you're engaged in a very important way of bringing this to people's attention, way of opening up conversations with people up and down the country. And it's the HECOI for Hope and Healing that has been initiated as a response that you've joined. And I'm really keen to know how that came about, how this plan to hold the HECOI was enacted, and what's been behind in the preparations, what's been going on behind the scenes, how much work has this been?
Well, it's been more work than I anticipated, of course, but I'm doing it with two wonderful clinical psychologists, both interested, of course, in mental health, particularly of youth, and also how that's going to be impacted by the climate. So we've come together and we're organising the HECOI Mauna Mokopuna for our grandchildren's well-being. And we're leaving from Cape Reinga on the 14th of September, so very soon. And really, it came about through my frustration, as well as theirs, about people not being told the truth about the predicament that we're in, and wanting to encourage people to understand and to vote accordingly for a livable future for future generations.
And a very timely model to choose a HECOI from Cape Reinga to Parliament. I'm assuming that people are going to be walking chunks of this all the way.
Yes, indeed. The plan is that where one of us is walking, we're all walking. So given our age, We will be doing a bit of a relay and hoping that others will join us along the way and come to meetings, and we can share knowledge and ideas.
So I'm going to dwell on that a little bit later in the session as to how people can join. I'm sure that many people will be interested, even if they only manage to do a short lap. I'm quite sure many people will want to support this initiative, because it is an opportunity to really focus in on what's happening. And when we've seen what's been unfolding from Nepal just over the last week, the suddenness, the almost the split-second difference between standing here and standing there as to whether you cop it or you don't. It was so intense and so incredible to watch. Riveting to watch, yes.
Very, very distressing. And of course, companies have known of the global heating associated with burning fossil fuels since the 1970s. And we've been kept largely in the dark. And I know scientists are taking some responsibility for having communicated in science speak rather than in language, plain language that we can all understand. But basically, we're fiddling while the planet burns and floods, and increasing numbers of people around the world are being displaced and facing food shortages and starvation. And yeah, I believe our health and well-being depends on a healthy environment, you know, water, land, sea and air. And
I know that in recent times we've had our own problems with water, and in Wellington in particular, but even earlier on in the Hawke's Bay, we had some deaths that came from poor water quality. And it seems that we don't have strong enough regulation to actually monitor, and we don't have strong enough accountability to deal with consequences here in New Zealand, even now. But we seem to be on a trajectory to weaken these regulations and responsibilities and accountabilities, which is quite frightening, actually.
Yes, yeah, well, I think that democracy is under threat with more and more legislation, consultation, or being passed under urgency without the usual checks and balances. And I believe really that policies that would support public health and well-being aren't getting the traction that they need because of industry influence or modern corruption, I think it's being called. So, we need lobbying laws and much more accountability.
Yes, the Health Coalition Aotearoa is calling indeed for an improvement in this environment in which industry calls the shots with little consequences, except they fall on the consumers, they fall on the residents of the country. They've actually made changing the lobbying environment one of their key platforms for change.
Yes, yes, indeed. So I feel as though instead of the polluter pays principle, it's the public, as you said, through, you know, our taxpayer-funded councils paying out commercial entities, you know, including things like saving our heritage trees, which we need both to counter the global heating and to cool our cities. And I think with amalgamation of councils, there will be even less opportunity for local input and action.
Indeed, that's one of the levers of change that's driving us backwards, it seems, at the moment. There's this plan to amalgamate regional councils, but there's also other changes, the Natural Environment Bill and also the Planning Bill, both of which are replacing the RMA, the Resource Management Act, which has had its criticisms and problems, but what's coming up is under the Natural Environment Bill, the concept of polluters' right to pollute, and the councils have to pay, they have to take them to court and use ratepayers' money to regulate and get any accountability from these polluters. And this seems to be quite extraordinary because councils don't have the kind of money necessary to do this, and they're cash-strapped as it is. So, and they're also having a cap put on them at the same time by the very government that's introducing the law that will allow polluters the right to pollute.
Yep. Yes, I think the government appears to be prioritising both personal gain and a growth agenda over caring for these natural systems, which are essential for our very survival. And this is things including permitting the mining on conservation land. And they don't appear to realise that we cannot continue to grow economies on a finite planet that is increasingly strained. I mean, we've seen the terrible fires and floods and things this year, and on our current trajectory, there'll be 3 or more degrees of global heating before the end of the century. And British insurance companies and actuaries are saying that this could result in 4 billion deaths by the century, end of the century. And I mean, that is just, well, unbelievable, almost. I wish it were.
Yeah, I think this is perhaps one of the reasons why people find it difficult to grapple with what to do about climate change, simply because the inevitability, but at the same time the colossal, huge scope of the impact is hard to get one's head around.
Indeed, and I think really the most powerful thing we can do is talk about it and come together and vote for a government which will prioritise a livable future for future generations. And to do that, we need to learn to live within our means in terms of the planetary boundaries to avoid what are called dangerous tipping points, which will put us into a hothouse Earth system. Lots of science speak there too. But really, I think rather than feeling powerless is to feel that we do have a voice, we need to use that voice and vote.
Yes, I think that a vote once every 3 years is not enough pressure individually or collectively to send a message. I feel that, because quite a few people have been voting in a particular way for quite a few years to try and get that message across. A lot of people, the main message they get is in their back pocket, and that's a message about tax. And so we do have to look at what parties are saying collectively, what groups they think they are aligned with, and what that might mean. So just because you think a party's got a very good policy on aged care, and you think, oh, so-and-so's always looked after us, and, you know, we always know that we're considered if we're in their camp, without recognising that, hang on, these people are the very people that are dividing the conservation estate up for mining and getting rid of lots of our Indigenous rights and protections that are involved in applying the treaty principles in various legislation, changing the Conservation Act so that its main purpose is indeed economic. This is, you know, quite a very serious, complete reversal of the intent of that Act. So one's got to really be very careful about where do you place that vote, what other parties are aligned, and what are their intentions, and not just be thinking about one vote in one party if you want to change direction. It does seem to be an exercise a little like changing the deck chairs on the Titanic. I think that if we want strategic change, we have to look at more pressure than just a vote. We need to look at asking hard questions of candidates in every possible situation, every meeting that we can attend locally, every time we get hot under the collar about these things, we need to be able to write a letter to a local candidate. And I do believe that letters en masse do make a difference. I know social media is very powerful too, but collective action that way can work, but also collective action through letter writing. A letter writing campaign has saved several forests in New Zealand, and Waitutu in the South Island was one that campaign that I was involved in setting up cottage meetings. And at the time, I had no idea whether we were going to be able to effect any change whatsoever, but the iwi were determined to sell that land because they wanted a treaty settlement, they wanted money, and they needed it for development. And the government eventually, and it was the national government at the time, actually decided in the interests of the pristine nature of this forest in Fiordland that would never be able to be replaced, that it shouldn't be mined, it shouldn't be sold to commercial interests from abroad, and it should in fact be part of our sacred estate and put into conservation management, which would be co-managed with the iwi in the, under the long-term agreement. And this is what happened. And it's a beautiful forest, and it's on the edge of that wonderful humpback track. So people can get to it, and really tourists can enjoy it, and it's part of the economy locally now.
Wonderful. Yes. Well, it certainly shows that by coming together, you know, we can achieve great things.
We can.
And you mentioned the Indigenous knowledge, and of course that is very much about a we society looking seven generations into the future, rather than what we seem to have so much now of the kind of the me, the individualism, because we are all connected, and what affects one will in time affect all of us.
Yes, well, we do seem to have quite a definite choice between the me society, individual gain. Let's have a tax break for people who invest in cryptocurrencies, is a slogan I heard this morning, that fits with the me society viewpoint. Whereas a we society focuses on, well, let's cooperate and collaborate to get the best outcome for all New Zealanders. And let's ensure that New Zealanders and generations from now are not wringing their hands at what we did or didn't do.
Exactly. And then there's a quote from Sir David Attenborough where he's talking about his actions and saying, you know, he couldn't look his grandchildren in the eye and say he knew what was happening in the environmental and climate crises and not do everything he could to change that. And, you know, he's a hero of mine, as is Dr. Jane Goodall, and she also has very strong environmental messages. And I feel it behoves all of us of our generation to stand up for our grandchildren. Future, as well as that of all living beings, of course. And I think the good news is that measures to counter these crises, including the cost of living, also promote health and well-being. You know, we're talking about active transport, plant-based diets, a sort of back-to-basics approach rather than feeling like we need so much in terms of material goods, and really to promote a greater sense of community and association with nature.
Yes, and when people say, well, what can I do, and it's all too much and it's too big and it's too tough, or what will my small contribution, how will that make a difference? I think if people like Sir David Attenborough started with that, they would never have been on the journey they've been on. I think it's very important to be able to think about what we're good at and how we can use what we're good at. And I think that there's people who are trying to do things intergenerationally. I noticed that there's a group meeting at the Campbell's Kindergarten in Victoria Park on Saturday the 12th of April, and they've got a program going all day long about action and climate change. And there's seeds that are going to be distributed to people who come along. There'll be opportunities for dialogue between youth and older people, sharing their knowledge and wisdom and their anxieties and so on together. And so this is easy to get to, either by train and bus or by bus and bus, or bus and walking. But it's quite in a standout position. This kindergarten sits on the edge of Victoria Park, opposite where the New World used to be, at the bottom of College Hill. So it's not difficult to get to. And so that's the 12th of April. And so... did I say the 12th of April? I'm sorry, the 12th of September. I don't know how I managed that. Yes, one of those strange senior moments. But no, it's the 12th of September, and that's between 10 and 4 during the day. So there'll be lots of interesting plants, seeds, conversational exchanges, and it will be an opportunity for people to learn from each other about the steps you can take to combat climate change. And I'm sure they'll talk about the hikoi at that meeting as well. But it's a very good time now to hear from you, Robin, just how people can connect with information about how to join in the hikoi.
Right. Well, we do have a Facebook page. I'm not much of a Facebook person, but I'm on a steep learning curve at the moment. And it's Hikoi Mau Ngā Mokopuna. We hope to have a petition up soon that people can sign if they wish, or contribute in whatever way works best for them. And certainly, if you're able to come and join us for a short distance or a long one, or just be present when we're stopping near you, that would be a wonderful support.
Well, that's good. If anybody wants to write in for more information about climate change from us here at Senior Focus, I suggest you use our email, seniorfocus, all one word, lowercase, it's 104.6 FM. That's our radio station, Planet's frequency, 104.6 FM at gmail.com. So I'll repeat that once more. Our email is seniorfocus, SENIRFOCUS, 104.6 FM at gmail.com. So do email us if you want any further information, and I'm happy to supply that.
Thank you very much.
So we wish you well, Robin, and I will no doubt get updates and we'll no doubt keep in touch and sort of find out how things are going. We hope to see you on the news. And we hope also that there will be more opportunities for conversations and to be able to bring attention to bear at public meetings. I have already talked about some meetings on this program, and Grey Power is holding a meeting on the 11th of September, which I just remind everybody that's at 1 p.m. at the North Harbour Netball Centre, and all is a public meeting, and Winston Peters and Chloe Swarvick and Karen Cho from ACT and a number of other prominent candidates from the North Shore area will be at that meeting. So I think it's a really good opportunity even if you can't get to a meeting locally in your own area, you would still be there seeing two of the parties with their leaders in action, and the Opportunity Party will be there. So, I mean, it does give you quite a sprinkling of six political positions to sound out and understand the ramifications of adopting their particular viewpoints or supporting their viewpoints. So I welcome you to that meeting. And on that note, I thank you, Robin, very much for being with us today, and we look forward to hearing of your adventures en route. And next week we will be having some more interesting people on board. We won't always be focused on the elections at this time. We'll try to get a variety of diet to suit everyone. But from time to time, we will have some mention of candidates or policies. But we try to keep a balance in everything that we're doing. So thank you for listening.
Together with Senior Focus next Sunday at 5:25 p.m. on Planet FM 104.6, or listen online at any time at planetaudio.org.nz/Senior Focus. And do note, Senior Focus is one word.
Coast.
It has beautiful scenery. The harbour is absolutely amazing.
Good weather, good people, and I like it.
My favourite thing about Auckland is the amazing views that I get when different parts of the city.
Planet. Bring it on.
Loving Auckland. Our diverse city. planetaudio.org.nz.
Tune in to Ireland Calling with Oliver Lee on Planet FM 104.6 every Wednesday night between 10 and 11pm. On the show, you will hear news from Irish correspondents, the latest Irish music, studio guests, and news of events happening in the Auckland area, and the chance to win great prizes. All this and much more on Ireland Calling on Planet FM 104.6 every Wednesday night between 10 and 11pm.
Our Earth has existed for 45 million centuries, but this one is special, as has the planet's future in his hands.
Technology, entertainment, design, and much more. TED Talks brings you inspiring presentations from speakers across the world. Hear activists, experts, and thought leaders sharing their ideas and stories.